Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. I count it an honor to be able to share the thoughts upon my heart with you all in this daily devotion this week. We are thankful for Brother Andrew and his vision to produce this platform, that it can touch the hearts of his people. May the Lord bless you all, even today, in the reading of his word. There's a scripture we will start with. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And it says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are on a thought we have titled, "Ye are the temple of the God." The Bible declares we are not only the temple of God, but that we are a royal priesthood, a living sacrifice, that we are the light, that we are holy, that we have been called out of darkness. It is interesting, the Bible takes the first two chapters of Genesis to speak of the creation of the world, its judgment, and its being brought back out of darkness when God said, "Let there be light," as he would restore it. To put man upon it. Yet the Bible will take 50 chapters to detail the tabernacle, the priesthood, and its sacrifices. He goes into such detail because it is going to speak something to our heart, not only about our approach to God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but it would also speak of our walk before the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, we read, "For ye were sometimes darkness." In other words, that's where we lived at one time, in the darkness of this world. Our hearts were blinded to the things of God. It says, "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That is what his admonition for us is, to walk as children of light. Yesterday, we took a simple thought on what does it mean to walk with the Lord. As I look today at the epistles, the letters to the churches, we see the term walk or walking or walked or something like this, some form of walk, is used 52 times. These letters are written to Christian people, instructions on the way they should conduct their lives. Paul was the wise master builder. He would write to the Corinthian church and tell them this, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." This is found in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. Many today claim to be the bride of Christ because of their understanding of great mysteries or because of the manifestation of the gifts in their life. But Paul tells us that if we don't know how to walk in love before God and in relationship with others, then it is all in vain. Jesus Christ would let us know that these two commandments, to love God and to love our neighbors, that all the commandments hang upon these two points. So what does it mean to walk as children of light? And what does this mean to me personally? How is it to be applied in my life? The Bible says we should glorify God in our body. What does that mean? How do you glorify God in your body? We are asked to be holy, and then we can ask this question, what is biblical holiness? What does it look like? Because we understand, although we are made holy by Christ Jesus, there is an expression of that holiness in the way that, in the manner we walk in this world. We are asked many times, "Are you in the message?" And we determine this by our revelation, the fact that we believe that God has sent a prophet. Yet many people walk disorderly, dishonestly, and still claim to be in a message. Many lack even common courtesy and kindness, yet they boast in their great revelations and their understanding of a prophet in the last hour. We speak of the perfection of the faith, the unity of the Spirit, but will these be found within our mind only, or are they too an expression of our walk in this world? When we look at John the Baptist, we can look in John chapter 5 and verse 33. It says this, "He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." In verse 35, "He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now, if we go back to John chapter 1, we read this scripture, and it's talking about John, and it says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Is there a contradiction there? He was a burning and shining light, but he was not that light. What it really shows us is his life was a vessel to transmit that light, to point into Jesus Christ. This is our purpose too, to declare Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, to walk as children of light. Walking in light means growing in holiness and maturing in the faith as we follow Jesus Christ. Going back into Ephesians chapter 5 again, we'll read that. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness. It shows that there has been a transformation that has taken place in our life, that we were sometimes darkness. That was our past. We walked according to the manner of this world. But now, are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. And then in verse 10, it says this, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So what we want to do is determined by scriptures, by prayer and study and seeking the Lord, what is acceptable unto the Lord? What would be pleasing unto him? Because when we come right down to it, it doesn't really matter what a man may say walking in light should look like, but it is what Jesus Christ would truly mean. And I believe this, that Paul has caught a revelation and understanding of what God would desire of his children as they would walk in the light. We will take a look at what the epistles speak concerning our walk throughout this world. First, though, we will mention this. It's in John chapter 3. Many people know about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But in 3:19, there's a very important point that we must bring up. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. What are we to take from that scripture? To walk in the light will bring conviction upon a man that is walking contrary to the scripture, because the light will expose the scripture, it will expose God's will and purpose for our life. It will really direct us in the way to, in manner to walk before God. That is why people are uncomfortable with the scripture. It declares the way to walk, and in so doing, it exposes sin in our life. So man, they love darkness because they would like their deeds, their actions, their walk in this world to be hidden from God's judgment. But God is going to bring everything to light. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, we read this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There's a lot in this scripture. First point we want to talk about is to walk circumspectly. What does circumspectly mean? It means careful to consider all the circumstances and possible consequences, to understand that there are consequences for our actions. The Bible says that we will reap what we sow. It actually says, let us not be deceived in not thinking this. We will reap what we sow. Your decisions will have consequences. The consequences will not only be upon you, but upon others, whether they be positive or whether they be negative. It says for us to redeem the time because the days are evil. In other words, we need to make the most of the time that God has given upon this earth to us to walk in this light. And then he makes this statement in 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's truly what we're looking at. If we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to walk in this world to be a reflection, the image of Christ, we must understand what the will of the Lord is. How could we please him if we don't really understand what is his desire for our life? What is his will? In the epistles, this is what we find. In the early church, There was a council, and they said, "We will put upon the Gentiles no more things than this, that they abstain from fornication, blood, and the various things." It was very limited, but when Paul started writing these letters and others as they wrote these epistles, what it did is it started to instruct this Christian people, not just how to obtain salvation, but truly to how to walk in this life. It is really to the ability to transform us from just being a convert to being a disciple of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read this: "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." In this scripture, it shows us that we need to walk worthy. What is worthy? It means truly, it speaks about having value. We have to understand the value of our walk in this present world. We must think upon these things. Number one, we are ambassadors of a kingdom. God has not just saved us from this dark world, but he has sent us into this dark world. He has made us lights among the darkness. He has sent us as ambassadors from another kingdom, the kingdom of Christ. So as we walk through this world, we are a representation of that kingdom, and we are truly have a message that would call people to enter into that kingdom. So we have to understand that he's wanting us to walk worthy of that calling, worthy of the vocation as an ambassador of Christ. We also understand this: we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have to understand that our actions and our reactions to circumstances are a reflection of the family. We are brought together with brothers and sisters in a local assembly, and we have to understand this, that our actions, our reactions, the manner that we live in this world will speak to many people about the church that we go to, the local assembly. So we have a responsibility to honor our brothers and sisters and not do anything that would bring reproach upon them. And then we have to understand it goes much bigger than the local assembly. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and it is a universal family that is spread throughout this earth, and that our obedience unto Christ is a reflection of that people. Number three, we also have to understand this when we're talking about value. The scripture says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Lord, we have to understand that what you have given us, this truth, this understanding, this spirit of eternal life, is a great treasure. And if we have this great treasure, then we need to be careful to honor it, to esteem it as valuable, and not want to do anything that would diminish its glory. Number four, we have to understand the great price that was paid for us. The scripture declares that we were bought with a price, that we are not our own. So what the Lord would ask us, even as a bride is a reflection of her husband, the church, this is a great mystery. She is the bride of Jesus Christ. She is a reflection of him, because the two will truly become one. So we understand this great price that was paid for us, and we need to walk worthy of the price paid for us. And the fifth point we just want to touch on this part is this: we have to understand that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and that the Lord is asking us not only to press towards that high calling, but to walk worthy of this high calling. I like this. He talks about us to esteem this vocation highly, but then he said this: with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Lowliness and meekness, what is he saying? That we have been given a great treasure, but we have to understand it is not through my own strength that I have obtained this treasure. It is not through my own goodness or my own righteousness that I have attained eternal life, that truly I am only the reflection of what he has done within me. I am holy because he is holy. I am righteous because he has clothed me with his righteousness. It's Christ in me. As a man, I am but dust and ashes. I was once a sinner, no longer a sinner. I am now a saint. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart for his purpose. And that's an important thing to understand. And then when he talks about this lowliness and meekness, it's that we have to understand that he has called us to be gentle, to be good, to be kind, to be forgiving towards others, to express the love of Christ to other people also. This is a great responsibility. It's actually a great honor. And God will give us the grace, the ability to walk in this way to other people. In Micah chapter 6, we will touch one more point and then we will continue next week. Micah 6 and 8 says this, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" True humility is to see ourselves as we actually are. I am redeemed. I have been brought out of darkness. I have been rescued. I had fallen in sin. I was born shapen in iniquity. I was helpless without God, yet he found me. To him belongs all the glory. To be humble, God gives patience and peace and gentleness. It allows us to view others better than ourselves. I remember when I was going down to Faith Assembly, Brother Jackson's church, there was a brother down there named Brother Glenn Funk. He was a precious brother. He was actually the cousin of Brother Jackson's wife. And he used to stand and he'd testify. And he would say this many times, "I am the least among you." Well, when I looked at that man, he was anything but the least among us. He was a faithful child of God. He would walk with the Lord for many years. He had made a vow to God during World War II that if God would bring him home, that he would serve God. And he faithfully did that for many, many years. At one time, he was a great friend of Brother Brandon and a deacon in his church. But when he made this statement, "I am the least among you," I believe this, the man truly believed that. It wasn't a show. It wasn't just an expression. It wasn't trying to make himself appear humble. It truly is who he was, that he esteemed others better than himself. I will tell you this, the fruit of the Spirit grows well in the soil of humility. I will also tell you this, pride is an exaggeration of your value. Pride is fertile ground for the work of the adversary. So let us walk in humility before God and amongst our brothers and sisters. Let us esteem God in his glory, and let us esteem one another as truly valuable. There's much more that can be said. As I mentioned, there are many statements that Paul would speak about and the epistles would declare about walking in light. We will continue with this tomorrow. I pray that it has been a blessing. Love in Christ Jesus. May you all have a blessed day in Christ Jesus our Lord.